Nish wat shogaf shan has Paddy Vaughan as Karagart. Agus togu, well we gila galori Paddy na mi shog, but chael shai agus a Merla. Well, we change to English, Paddy. You feel more comfortable with
the... Would I?
Well, could you tell me a bit of your background, Paddy? You talked to me the last day on Friday there about your grandmother coming from...
She was married to a man called Vaughan. And she was originally my Yenley, and she was a poor woman anyway, but she stayed in a place called Drumnamona, and then eventually she came to this house down here beside McClarkey's. It was a house belonging to Leitrim. There were two houses in it.
Just in Carrigart here?
That's down in Carrigart, down to Yet. She came there in 1903.
Did she buy it off?
No, she rented it for about six or eight shillings a year, and she was there for until she died, and then we lived there. Then we're living here, I would say 45 or coming on 50 years, you know. And she was down there. She looked after the dispensary for McCloskey, and she was before that she worked in the old Rorapenna, you know.
Right.
A lot of women worked there and post what you call skivvies and worked in the hotel, washing dishes and one thing and another.
But that was originally a hotel built by...
It was built by a man called Mickey Freel. He was from over there, Glenrae, and he came out of Scotland and he built that. But there were a shibbing in it before that, but now who had it I don't know, but the old shibbing that's just down at the back of our house, and I was always told that the man that was there, he committed suicide by hanging, and that's just where you go in the back gate, and that was what you call a shebeen. And
right, well, we'll go back to your grandmother's home. She rented.
Yes.
She rented from Lord Leitrim.
She did die, and she lived there then, and she reared Barney and Joe and James and Paddy, which was my father, and she worked away there, and she worked then in later years with McCloskey.
And he was the doctor?
He was the doctor of the time.
Right.
The man previous to that was Dr. Christie. But now, he was from the same area in question as Dr. McCloskey from County Derry, Dungiven. And McCloskey there, he was here for 40-something odd years. He died in 48. And he done everything, you know, and she cleaned out the dispensary and all that. And suppose, I don't know at that time whether it was a health board or what it was. Probably a lot of it depended on the doctor himself, what he'd done and what he didn't, you know. He bought turf, and he bought turf there, a bag of turf every week for the fire in the dispensary. The dispensary consisted of just on a Tuesday from 11 to 1, you know. And you'd have maybe people that would come there, maybe five or six people. So one old faces all the time, you know. But I don't think there was as much sickness then as is now, you know. But she worked with him anyway, and then she died when she was over 80. So she worked a long, long time with him, you know.
And could you tell me about, explain to me the name Vaughan? You said he was a tailor.
Vaughan originally came from Oma. And they came to Letterkenny now. How they came there, I don't know, but there were one of them, he was a coal merchant, and he would be a brother of this Paddy's. And this man was a tailor. He was what you call a journeyman tailor. He was here and he was there and he was all over.
He travelled to areas for couple of weeks.
He worked down the street with a man named McBride, because...
His name was Paddy Vaughan as well.
He was.
Right.
But where he went, he was a boozer, I would think. But you never queried or asked anything, you know, but where he went or what happened to him, probably maybe buried in a pauper's grave, you know. He went away then, and there were relations, the same relations as Letterkenny, you see. There went on to call Celine, she would be Celine Kirwan. But her father was Frank Vaughan, and he would be maybe a second cousin of my father's, you know. But He went away. She got shot at him anyway. When, I don't know. Or where he went, I don't know. But I'd like to know, you know. But
yeah.
Sometime maybe I'll eventually find out, you know. But that was the end of the story with him anyway. And I suppose she had to struggle on and try and rear a crowd of wins and whatever amount was in it, and she worked and worked away. But she had no education. She couldn't read or write, but she could sing and she could recite anything, or she could tell you stories for a month. That was her, you know.
Her name was?
Mary.
Mary.
Aye. Oh, she was. I remember her myself, you know, and she could. The Master Gala down there, that's the man taught us in Dublin. Rio was from Gibara, and he taught here. Taught in Fan at first, but he used to go into her very, very often to get Irish names and Irish stuff and owl songs and recitations, you know.
She was a native Irish speaker.
She was. She's the best Irish, you know, and. All these men went into her, you know, and talked to her. For a woman that had no education or couldn't read or write. But she had it all in the head, you see.
She had a lot of old knowledge and folklore and...
What?
She had a lot of old folklore and stories.
She could tell you amount of stuff, you know. And stuff that she would tell you and nobody had any interest in it at the time, you know. But it was a pity it was all lost, you know.
Awful sin, yeah.
It was just a pity it was all lost, you know. But she was great at recitations and songs and telling stories, you know. And a very religious woman. She went to the chapel every morning. There were two other characters used to come out of the bottom, out of Downing's. Shamath Ward. He came from Tory Island and he had his family in Downing's, but he was with the Bord Iskiwara, you know. And another man that used to come up, Joe Boyce, he had a shop in Downing's. That would be the present bishop's father. Joe Boyce, he was of Scotch. I think he was Scotch, you know. And he used to come up. And the usual routine in the morning, all these fellas, you see, and women doing the Stations of the Cross. The terrible big Stations of the Cross in the chapel, you know. And anyway... there was some kind of a do in the chapel, and my father was in with Mrs. McCloskey. She was a religious woman, and she says to my father, she says, "What about the Stations of the Cross today, the money that go around them?" He says, "I think Shamath Ward and my mother are in for the final." But that was their goal the whole time, every morning. And then they're doing the, what do you call it, in the evenings, around the time of the October, time of the dead, doing the visits. That cut out too. They used to do that too as well. That was all stopped. Holy hour, devotions, that was all stopped. It was just back to the old routine, one mass, Sunday morning, that was the end of it, you know. And mass in the morning, and mass at 11:30.